Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all. Or you could instantly transform your sleep with Boll & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt. And it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities. Can transform the world. And rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
About Willis.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what'd it do?
Man, ahoy.
What?
Those
what is going
20
on?
Thorns.
What is the matter?
Stop
what?
Making out. Stop.
No one made out with anyone.
Oh, they made out.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
No.
Technically, this time, no one made out.
No,
there was
a kiss.
But it wasn't...
It was an unwanted kiss.
How is that not making out?
Because
you have to make out requires two people. You have to... It's reciprocal.
The details of the article say it was to the back of the neck, Jason.
Yeah.
I said this earlier. That's even worse.
Came in by surprise.
That's what I was... Remember, this was... We were talking about the Tom Brady mouth kiss?
Yeah.
I said because he was kissing his other son on the back of the neck. I think the back of the neck is worse. Then taking the surprise from behind is way worse than going head on. Stop it. It's not that hard.
Well, you know, I will say that like...
Who sneak attacks from behind to the neck?
Well, a celebration is the time to do it.
Ah.
Because they were celebrating. And so that's when you can, if you really are thinking, most people are just celebrating like they're just viscerally reacting to what happened.
Yeah.
Other people are being pervy and going, oh, here's my chance.
So what you're saying is we've been working together for 20 years. If I ever wanted to make a move on you, I wait until like the Jayhawks win the NCAA title and then I come up from behind and I kiss your neck?
Well, I think...
How quickly does your celebration end if I come up from behind, wrap my arms around you, and I plant one on your neck?
Well, I wouldn't care.
That doesn't stop your celebration in any way.
I'd be like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
And then keep...
Rock chop.
Yeah!
No, it would have to be like some sort of... Maybe we have some team building exercise. You know how they used to do that?
Yeah.
But we don't care about that anymore around here.
No.
Where we're all like in a circle, like celebrating something.
Sort of trust fall.
Yeah,
and then fall, I just kind of...
Where we're all together and you don't really know whose hand is whose. And then before you know it... Somebody's got a handful.
We get news of Smash rating success. We're all out having drinks,
yeah.
And then, you know, someone gets a little handsy.
Someone cheers, and then the hand goes a little far.
Wow. It's just that organization cannot help themselves.
Hey, it's not their fault. It's, guess it is.
It is their fault.
I think it was also self-reported, so then the investigators were like, well, let us take a look
Wait
at
a minute.
This.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me verify this. I just read the article, though.
But who was the kisser, the rogue kisser?
That was Sophie Clough or Clow. I don't know how you pronounce it.
And who's that? What does she do?
She's an assistant trainer.
So they fired her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who'd she kiss?
One of the players.
Yeah, one of the players.
And one of the players is like complained about it?
Well, yeah.
I guess.
I think it was one of those like, you can't be coming up from behind and giving me a little mwah, mwah, mwah. And then the other one was just they were handing out codeine.
Now, who is that?
That was the trainer or doctor?
That was the head trainer.
Head trainer.
The head trainer, and this is a male or a female?
This is Pierre Soubrier.
Yeah, so that would be
a male. He sounds famous.
He sounds like a chef. Like
Pierre Soubrier.
He's working under Gordon Ramsay, and he moonlights handing out codeine.
So he was handing out codeine.
Yes.
I give that a man. I mean, is that fireable?
Apparently, it's against league rules.
I guess the league found that both of these incidents were in violation of league rules.
Yeah. And now,
and they're heightened sensitivity.
They're heightened sensitivity
over there.
Heightened sensitivity because codeine. Boy, I'll tell you what. If I can go back and count the number of pills that I was given that were way worse than codeine back in the day, but that was unregulated. Remember. A number of years ago, a bunch of NFL and college doctors got in trouble because, pills. And now they actually have to keep record. Because back in the day, there weren't even any prescriptions. They would just walk up and down like the aisles and give you handfuls of stuff. And you can't do that because, people are dying.
Well, but codeine's just a pain pill, right?
Codeine's is the main ingredient in like cough syrup.
But it's for pain.
Yes.
So it's a pain pill.
Yeah.
Pain pills are legal.
Well, we don't know if it was a pill if we don't know it was in liquid form. Like the only codeine that I've ever had is like when you get like the prescription strength like cough syrup, that's codeine. Well, but a lot of pharmacies won't even stock it now.
Why? Is that dangerous?
Yeah, well it's just being abused. That's what people make like that syrup, like the lean, like they
what?
It's become like a popular drink where people make it like they put Skittles in there and Sprite.
Scissorp,
yeah. And they call it lean.
Boy, you guys are hip.
It's not.
This is all news to me.
Rob's not familiar with the codeine.
The scissor. I'm not familiar with Scissorp. Oh, my God. So codeine is really bad to the point of fireable. Okay, news to me. Didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
Because to me, it's all just. I mean, in sports, I just think of pain management as like a key sort of.
And I think certain medications can include codeine. I don't think it has to be by itself. The article makes it sound as though it was medication given to players that included codeine.
Yeah. So on the pain front, it has to be approved.
I'm assuming so that all that
substances.
Yeah, it's got to be all regulated now. And it's news to me because, like I said, I just come from the world, and I know it's a much different world and it's a much better world, but. Look, I've said it on the program a million times. Painkillers are the ugly little secret that make the sports world go round.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, why is codeine then?
I don't know.
Why is this guy fired? Like, that seems excessive. Something else is up. Who'd he kiss on the neck?
Well, he is married to star midfielder Crystal Dunn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's who he's kissing, at least.
So it'd be okay if he kissed her on the neck.
Unless she didn't want to. You can't just because you're married. Come on.
Nah, that'd be okay.
Well, in some ways it is, but yeah, codeine is an opioid. It's just, you don't really, like, when you think about, like, abusing painkillers, you think more about,
okay, like Vicodin?
That's what you...
So Vicodin, okay. Oxy, not okay?
I don't know.
Or codeine, not okay? Like, what...
I don't know.
What do they... I mean, I'm sure there's an easy answer to this, but to me it's kind of silly that some are okay and others aren't.
Well, and I think this goes down to... Now everything has to be regulated. So if there was no prescription involved, you can't just be handing out you can't go to the store and buy codeine. That has to be a prescription. It has to be written. And like I said, even
well, that's true of Oxy and all that.
Yes, but my point is, if he was giving codeine medication without writing prescriptions for it, you could get in some trouble for that.
Well, apparently he did.
Yes, he did.
All right. Well,
which is a bit of
rest in peace, Pierre.
Yes, stop giving out medication.
God, the freaking thorns.
I know. They
Who
can't...
is in charge? Oh wait,
yeah, wait. I thought those two ladies are in charge now.
Well, they are, but this isn't their fault.
No, this is something that happened a long time ago.
This is Merritt Paulson's fault.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. So, either way, I just we came on the air, Buck hit me with that one, and I was like,
"Hey,
my
Buck,
gosh, thorns!"
On the Buck front, did you see the picture he sent us today on our text messages?
I did see the photo.
Wow, I wish we could post that, but we can't really because it's someone's house.
Yeah,
what is going on there?
Well, we were talking about Christmas lights and leaving up your Christmas decorations too long, and Buck one-upped everybody because a neighbor of his not just has Christmas decorations up, and there's a nice row of candy canes,
some big large bulb lights.
Yeah, so clearly they haven't taken down any sort of Christmas decoration, but look, there's no other way to say it. Right in front of the door is like a 10-foot werewolf.
Yeah,
it's huge,
and it's got ripped pants and a ripped sort of flannel.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, because he
Werewolf of London.
Well, he hulked out sort of thing.
Wasn't that the werewolf? Like,
well, they all do that.
It was a dude, and then
they rip out. Although,
they all do that?
Well, yeah,
werewolves.
That's
like a trait of werewolves.
Yes, it's the Incredible Hulk sort of theory. Although I'm always fascinated by
he's ripped.
Yeah, he's ripped, but that's a normal dude that turns into a 9-foot werewolf, and apparently while his pants rip, they still stay on, and they just turn into capris.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can have, like, a nude werewolf.
Well,
I think
it's
weird.
Incredible Hulk was like that.
Yeah, because you can't have the Incredible, you know, you can't have him hanging dong running around on TV. That would be a bit weird. But I always found it fascinating that everything ripped away from the Hulk but his pants. That stayed perfectly on because, well, you know.
This is really, so we were talking about, you know, can you have your Christmas lights on late January? A lot of people in my neighborhood have their lights on, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it, but I was asking when, you know, when do you turn them off or take them down?
Yeah.
Apparently February 1 becomes the date.
That's a kind of a
that's
hard...
like an HOA thing.
Yeah.
Where that's just sort of what people, I don't know.
When does the werewolf come down?
Well, that's...
Because I'm assuming that's been up since like October 1st.
Well, since Halloween.
Yeah. Since before Halloween.
And it's still...
We're talking about a third of a year here. We're on 4 months now.
So they leave the werewolf and then put the Christmas lights up around him.
Around middle December, I was walking my dog by and I saw the two people and they're out there with their ladder. And I was like, oh my God, they're finally going to take the werewolf down. We come back the next day and there's a Santa hat on the werewolf.
Well, that's a nice little way of transitioning it.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, can you describe these people? Because I tell you, the front of their house has a lot of red flags. And it's not just the werewolf.
I barely got a look at these people. I was like, I just kind of kept my head down and kept walking because I felt like I was going to say something about the werewolf being up too long. So, I mean, they look like normal, average pedestrian folks.
Okay, because their house doesn't. If you look above their front door, if you zoom, pinch and zoom on the werewolf picture,
it's all about the pinch
and we
and
can't
zoom.
Post this because it's somebody's house. So I don't want to, you know, get in trouble or anything. But look above the door. What is that portrait? What is that?
Let's take a look.
Help me with that. That's creepier than the werewolf.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are old Halloween decorations that are still incorporated.
That looks like some sort of evil, like demon baby sort of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, that's prominent.
Do you want to know what's going on in that house?
Not really.
Because I don't.
No. Look, and
there's like a, you know, it's the kind of thing where there's like an old, you know, like an old dryer and an old grill and just some kind of garbage on the side yard. It's kind of one of those situations.
And look, the style of the house.
Well, it's ugly.
Okay. Remember, I
hope they're not listeners.
I know. I feel bad. But
let me tell you something. If you're listening, you've got issues.
Yeah, there's stuff going on.
And we can see it without even knowing you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. I would like you to know that.
Remember, I've talked about how down the road from me, I've got like the three percenters that
are they rich? The other.
The other three percenters.
Oh,
yeah,
like
the proud three percenters.
Oh, is that
the January 6th variety?
The January 6th variety.
Oh, your people.
Yeah, there's two houses side by side, and let's just say if you put and it sticks out in my neighborhood like a sore thumb. If you put this house with or without the Halloween decorations right next to it, blends in perfectly. It just has that sort of, we built this home in 1972 and nothing has been done to it. And especially like the kind of like the makeshift curtains, it just has that vibe. So to answer your question, do you want to know what's going inside? No, you don't want to know what's going on inside. It's best to just stay away.
Yeah.
That's like when you were in your early 20s and someone was like, hey, you want to go to a house party? And you're like, sure. And then you show up and it's at that house. You should probably just turn around and go.
Well, it is weird. And we all have these, well, most of us maybe in our neighborhoods, where you have the home that is terrifying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then they put up Christmas lights.
Yeah.
And that softens instantly, you're like, wow, you're not terrifying at all. You're very festive. But wait, look at it's a juxtaposition.
Well,
I don't know what to think.
And it's terrifying now because they have all these inflatables, but that are deflated. So it looks like the werewolf has just murdered bunch of the Christmas inflatables.
Now, I get the Christmas lights have yet to come down. I get that.
Yeah.
And the werewolf has yet to come down. I don't really get that because that's a Halloween thing.
Yeah.
The inflatables, they just deflated them and left them.
Yeah, they're just
Well, no, so those will like reinflate at nighttime and light up.
Oh, they still put those
oh.
up?
So the, oh, yeah, like you walk by at night and like Snoopy is on a sleigh or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, boy, I don't.
Man.
I don't know what to make of this. And like the basement windows are all covered up, which and the upstairs aren't, which terrifies me because then I ask the question, what's going on in the basement that needs to be covered up that you can't see versus the upstairs?
And I think the previous Halloween, they put like caution tape all over those windows and then yeah. they left so that they same caution tape for the full year.
I feel like this is where you go
as well
to get
the tombstones in the lawn.
Dude. Unless you're with the Thorns, I think this is where you go to get codeine, by the way. Just FYI.
Something's going up going on.
If you're looking to score, I think you knock on the basement window.
Not interested.
And by the way, the Twitter people are in, or not Twitter, the text program is in, and it's a good point. If it was the head trainer that was handing out the codeine, that's not a doctor. And you couldn't give out codeine not being a doctor. And if he's just the head athletic trainer, he wouldn't be able to just give you.
No, I get that. Yeah. But I just feel like that happens all the time. Am I wrong? You talk about it all the time. This happens.
Yeah, but like, I always got my.
They go to the trainer like, "Hey, I got a foot problem. It really hurts. Oh, here, just pop a couple of these. You'll be fine." That has been happening since the dawn of time.
It is, but the wrong person found out about this, and we, as we mentioned before, the high sensitivity.
You gotta
buy one of these. Hey, go to the doctor. He'll get it for you. Because doctors will give you anything. Right. Team doctors, at least in my experience,
well,
there's no limit to what they are willing to give.
No surprise kisses on the neck, and do not hand out codeine.
And for the love of God, don't piss off whoever these people are in Buck's neighborhood, because that's...
Now, what town is this, Buck? Where do you live?
This is in Beaverton.
Beaverton.
Let's just say this. If you have a problem with your neighbor, and you decide your wife's like, you go tell them off, and you walk up and this is your neighbor, just don't do it. Just walk away.
Yeah, leave them alone.
Nothing good's coming from your confrontation. They're waiting inside their house. They're waiting for someone to complain. There is a husband in there who's just dying.
They're baiting you.
Yes, to have a confrontation with their neighbor over their...
And I've thought about it. I'm like, should I say something? Werewolf. Should I leave a note?
No.
And I'm like, I'm not.
No.
I don't think I should.
No. Don't
they have to know.
Yeah,
don't
that's legit 9 feet, right? I mean, that thing is.
Yeah
it's a 9 or 10 foot werewolf for sure.
I mean, it's pretty impressive, actually. But
I know. Where do you get? Where is
it? Just doesn't.
It's like a spirit thing.
Doesn't really work.
No.
This point of the year.
It's a.
All right. Well, who's ready to party?
Let's go.
You ready to party?
Yeah.
That's Big Sook right over there.
Ow!
In a. Lesser capacity, that's Ryan, Ryan Buckley.
Yeehaw!
Ooh, I like that. He does. Buck does seem like a yeehaw sort of guy, although Dusty, being Dusty, he might be the yeehaw. Like, if someone was going to wear a cowboy hat, wouldn't it be Dusty or Buck?
I think it'd
I
be
could
Dusty.
See Dusty. Didn't he grow up around horses, too?
Yeah. Dusty's kind of a farm boy.
He's like kind of a... Yeah,
he's like a Yellowstone guy.
If Buck showed up tomorrow...
No, Buck's a city boy. He's from San Francisco.
Saying, if he showed up in a cowboy hat...
I can pull off the look, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't blink at it. I'd be like...
I can pull off the look.
Yeah, look at that. He's wearing like a Memphis barbecue hat right now. He could totally pull off a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I know better.
You know better, but if you didn't know better, you'd be like, oh, look at that cowboy.
Yeah.
I think Buck's sneaky, fancy boy.
Fancy?
Fancy lad. Sneaky.
Yeah, when he shows up with like the hair combed and everything.
Good.
And, yeah. Throw you for a loop. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to talk sports today, so I hope you are prepared for that. We'll start with our poll question. It pertains to NFL quarterbacks next on The Fan.
Think of all the sleep hacks you've ever heard. You could spend years trying them all, or you could instantly transform your sleep with Bowl & Branch. They make the softest, most breathable bedding you've ever felt, and it's all 20% off. That's their best sale of the entire season. Millions of sleepers love their buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. And you can try all of them for 20% off with promo code Odyssey. So hurry to bowlandbranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, here's our poll question today. It's always there for you on Twitter, at 1080TheFan. It's brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years, AAAIAQ.com. If you are starting a franchise with one of these quarterbacks, who do you choose? There are four options for you, because that's all that Twitter gives you.
Yeah.
Four. Patrick Mahomes,
yes.
Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, or Jalen Hurts?
Patrick Mahomes.
Log on, vote. And the only thing we ask, please, vote hard.
Took me about 4 seconds. Not even that. 2.5 seconds. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in football, period. End of story. Now, if Burrow wins this one, now we're going to get the inevitable, well, he was hurt and the ankle.
Who?
If Cincinnati beats Kansas City, you know.
Yeah.
And they've won a couple in a row now. I think they've won, what, 3 in a row and against him. And the head-to-head thing can be problematic because, again, it's not solely based on the quarterback, you know. But Burrow has done it with a lesser offensive line. He's done it with great offensive weapons, though. The Cincinnati defense has been phenomenal. Kansas City's is okay. So I think those aren't necessarily even comparisons. But Joe Burrow is if he wins this and gets to another Super Bowl and he wins one, Joe Burrow, to me, is already past Josh Allen. Physically, Josh Allen is the most impressive player in the NFL. But I think it was Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow, and you kind of, you know, it's a bit of a soup there. But because Mahomes in the Super Bowl has won one, and he's won the MVPs, you know, he gets the nod. He's probably going to win another one this year. But Burrow can go a long way to distancing himself from Josh Allen with a win here and maybe entering that where there's going to be some people that pick him over Mahomes. But to me, it's still a clear pecking order of Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, 1, 2, 3. And I think there's a fairly significant gap. I mean, no offense to Justin Herbert, who physically is everything you want in a quarterback, but I can't even make an argument that Justin Herbert belongs in that category. I would have said that before Deshaun Watson went on his massage run there, Deshaun Watson, I think, belonged in this category. What we've seen, he hasn't played in 2 years, and what we saw of him this year was absolutely awful. Rodgers is over the hill. Brady's still good, but you can't say that about Tom, that he's in this class. It's not even close, especially with his age thrown in there. I just don't think there's anyone really. It's not Kyler Murray, anything like that. I just don't think there's another quarterback in the class of these three. And, yeah, 1, 2, 3. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen.
Well, nobody talks about Hurts. He's on there.
Yeah. And
he's on there because, while the Eagles are really good, and he was in the MVP running, and he's dual threat.
Yeah.
You know, he's a new prototype.
He's a different type.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, if he goes on and wins a Super Bowl, and, you know, he hasn't even been paid yet by Philadelphia.
Well, and that's what I mean. Like, so much of it is what they do in the postseason.
Yeah.
You know, is how people base this stuff.
Yeah.
Which is why people are already taking Burrow, you know, because all the guy does is win in the postseason. Like, yeah.
Well, he's got an it, but so does Mahomes. You know, I mean,
yeah, but Mahomes. And look, I'm not trying to knock Mahomes. Mahomes is awesome, but how many quarterbacks get with Andy Reid in that offense to keep the roster exactly the same?
Yeah,
how many are they? A little bit like the Niners in that keep plugging them in, and they're going to be really, really, really good.
Sure, I mean, you can make that argument, but
could you make that argument in Cincy? I don't think so yet.
No, because
Burrow, really, his first year was just, I mean, he was running for his life.
Yes.
Wasn't he sacked more than anyone?
Yeah, and then he, you know, got hurt. And
yeah.
You know,
that's right, he did get hurt.
He blew out his knee.
And then last year.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
They still have offensive line issues. They go to the Super Bowl. This year, I saw a quote from him today. He said, they're better this year than they were last year.
Yes, and now he's still facing.
In a lot of ways.
And he's still facing huge offensive line issues, and it didn't matter in Buffalo. We'll see what happens in Kansas City against a much better pass rush. Not in the snowy conditions.
So a lot of it's about who's around them.
Yeah, but, you know, look, I'm a big O-line guy, obviously, and I thought that the O-line would cost in that game against Buffalo. Their O-line was dominant, which is just that's the surprise of the weekend. But if we're going to look at talent for talent, the O-line, obviously, it's a huge advantage to Patrick Mahomes. But if you're talking skill position-wise, Cincinnati's much better than Kansas City. I mean, when you look at Ja'Marr Chase, you look at Boyd, you look at Higgins, you look at Hurst, you look at Mixon, you look at Perine. I mean, that is a much better group than what Mahomes has. I mean, Mahomes has Travis Kelce, who's just, you know, look, you want to talk about a guy that's distanced himself from every other player. Is there another player at his position that there is a bigger gap between one and two right now than Travis Kelce?
Is Kittle two then?
Yeah, Kittle's probably two. And when healthy, there just isn't anything.
I was surprised the Jags kind of didn't really cover Kelce. I mean, like, they didn't really.
Well, Jacksonville is the worst team in the NFL against tight ends. So,
well, that showed.
Yeah, it did.
But it just seemed like they just kept letting him run wide open, and it's like,
And they tried.
Have they heard of him?
There's different breakdowns where they try to jam him, they try to double him. No one can figure out what to do with Travis Kelce. That's why he was a unanimous All-Pro. There was two of them, right? I think it was Chase and Kelce. I think were the two unanimous Pro Bowlers. Look at Kelce's number versus other tight ends. I think receptions, it's like 30-something, and yards, it's 400 difference between Kelce and any other tight end.
So, where did he play in college?
Travis Kelce? Cincinnati.
Oh.
He's a Bearcat. Ridiculous.
Didn't know that.
And but, how about both those brothers doing totally different skills in the same and yet profession both, and both amazing
both athletes. Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
But when you know, outside of Kelce, which obviously over Hurst is a giant advantage, Cincinnati across the board has better weapons. So, I mean, to say that Burrow is doing it this year without help, well, that's not true. He's doing it behind right now a leaky offensive line that took a while to get going, but once they got on their streak, their O-line was playing very well. Now he's doing it with a mash unit of an O-line, but a ridiculous cast. And I'll go back and defend Patrick Mahomes a little bit. Remember in the Super Bowl where they got wiped out by Tampa? Do we remember what went down in that game? He was playing without both of his tackles and one of his guards, and he was running for his life. And go back and watch that Super Bowl. I swear to the heavens above, Patrick Mahomes was keeping them in that game. He made plays. Remember, he had the touchdown pass that was dropped. It's one of the most amazing throws that didn't count. He threw it like Superman style, running for his life. And I forget who it was, but they dropped a touchdown. Mahomes was keeping them in that game, playing just out of his mind because he was just under duress the entire time. So he can do that too. Let's not, if Patrick Mahomes was playing behind a leaky offensive line, he would still be incredible. So I think that some of that argument is a little, it's a little biased, leaning towards Burrow's doing it without any help and Mahomes has this loaded cast. And it's not the case. I mean, he lost arguably the second or third best receiver in football, the best deep threat in football, and their numbers went up. They still had the number one offense. He's pretty special. Now, the Andy Reid thing, I'll give you. You know, but Tom Brady had Bill Belichick. Joe Montana had a pretty good coach last time I checked in Bill Walsh. It just so happens that Mahomes got with one of the best coaches of all time.
Looking at Travis Kelce's college stats, because I didn't know he played at Cincinnati.
Yeah, they both did.
What do you mean, both?
Well, Kelce.
He and his brother Jason.
Yeah.
Oh. At the same time?
I don't know if they overlapped or not.
I mean, his stats aren't eye-popping, but then I look at his quarterbacks. Zach Caleros.
Yeah, what?
Do you remember Zach Caleros?
I can't say that I do.
722 yards for Kelce in his senior year. Yeah, they were 10-3. I mean, you know. That was when Butch Jones was their coach.
And he wasn't a first-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was a second-rounder.
He was a third-rounder.
He was a third-rounder
Travis Kelce was a third-rounder.
Yeah.
63rd pick overall.
Do you remember Butch Jones being the coach at Cincinnati?
I do remember Butch Jones being the coach at Cincinnati.
Yeah.
He was there when the Kelce brothers were.
So you go to Cincinnati and you're pretty much good, right?
What do you mean?
Well, like, if you coach Cincinnati, you're going on to bigger. Like, that program is pretty good because every coach gets yanked out of there for a bigger job.
Except now they're in the Big 12, so maybe that'll stop it a little bit. But, yes, it feels like it's one of the better, what was it, the group of five? Like,
well, you had Mark D'Antonio,
uh-huh.
Brian Kelly, Butch Jones. All those guys went to better jobs.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuberville didn't. He went to Congress.
but still.
Could be considered a better job.
Yeah, I guess. And then Luke Fickell, who obviously just got the, where'd he go, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I think he went to Wisconsin.
Yeah, he went to Wisconsin.
Man.
And he was the hot name.
That's a sneaky good job.
Yeah.
I mean, they win double-digit games every year, it seems like. Anyway.
Yeah.
A little hot Cincinnati football talk for you.
We've talked about that. Pitt's one of those schools, too. Like, they produce some kids, and you don't really think a lot about them. You can go on to bigger, better things. But Pitt was a Power 5 job, and Cincinnati was not.
So where's Travis? Where are the Kelce brothers from, then?
I'm assuming they're both from Ohio.
They're
from Westlake, Ohio, and they are 2 years apart. Jason's 35, Travis is 33.
So they would have crossed paths.
Yeah, they would have at least played probably 2 years together.
Travis is only 33. I feel like he's been around forever.
Well, he's really...
How many more years does a tight end like that have?
I don't know. I mean...
He's freakishly healthy, too. Look at his like career game log. He never misses more than maybe one game a year. It's unbelievable.
But I will say that with that much usage, look, NFL guys can fall off cliffs real, real fast because he's so good. I mean, he's not... I can't imagine him at 36... doing what he's doing now. So,
so 3 years?
It's 3 years.
Two seasons.
Yeah, two seasons. And then I'm sure he can still play, but you know, I at 36, 37 years old to do this, you know, I can't imagine that being a thing.
Yeah, he catches 85 to 110 balls a year.
Yeah, it's
pretty amazing.
He's just stupid. He's, you know, for all the Tyreek Hill stuff, and Tyreek Hill is amazing. He was in Kansas City, is in Miami. But look, Travis Kelce he's different. There's not a bigger gap at any position between number one and number two like Travis Kelce.
All right. Well, anyway, our poll question is not about him. Forget that guy. You're starting a franchise one of these quarterbacks. Who do you choose? Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, Hurts. Vote hard, 1080 the fan on Twitter.
Yeah, think about this. So Kelce had 104 receptions. The next closest was Hockenson with 84.
Oh, Hockenson.
And then it went down to 73 and then into the 60s. And then for yards, he had Hockenson, number two again. He had 890-something. Kelce had over 1,300 yards. It's just not...
Really good comparison from the text line. Jimmy Graham. He was just unbelievable, caught everything, and then fell right off a cliff.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good call.
Yep.
He did. Yep. Definitely did.
You can, you know, when you lose a step at any position like that, look at Zeke or, you know, it happens to running backs.
Running backs, yeah.
It happens to running backs faster than anyone just because it's just every play is just a freaking collision. And, you know, Kelce, in today's NFL, you're not taking the hits like you used to over the middle. But when it goes, it can go very quickly. But, you know, Kelce will be around for a while. By all accounts, he takes good care of his body, and he's a freak.
All right, rest in peace, the great Shawn's. We'll talk about that next. Here's Buck. Scissor.
There you go.
Now, who's this?
Now, this band is called Far East Movement.
Oh, yeah, one of my favorites.
Scissor.
Yeah, Lil Wayne. Remember Lil Wayne was having all those seizures? Lil Wayne.
He was having seizures?
Yeah, he was having, like, serious medical problems because he was, like, drinking this like it was Diet Coke. And that's...
What is Scissor again?
I think it's Sprite, and then, like, they put, like, Jolly Ranchers or, like, flavored candy in there. Uh-huh. And then, like, the codeine, like, a lot of it's, like... Most of the time I've ever had codeine, it comes like in a cough syrup and it's like grape flavored or whatever. And then you sprinkle that in there you walk around with your cup of scissor or lean. And
now, dad question.
Yeah.
What is purple drink?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. Another name for the same thing.
Cause the codeine often comes in the purple grape flavored. So you would mix it with like a grape soda or Sprite or like I said, you know, it's not that I've ever, no.
Have you?
No.
Why would you?
No, that's ridiculous.
Is that good? What is that? Is it?
Well, I mean.
I mean, does it get you
yes,
nice and.
Yes.
So you have one of those and you're.
If you've ever taken pain pills, like, you know, people abuse pain pills, it's the exact same thing.
Well, why don't you just take a pain pill then? Why you got to be so cute?
The text line saying that Jamarcus Russell was pretty big into the scissor.
Yeah.
The purple drink.
Yeah. It's big in the...
Wasn't Vince Young? Remember that whole Vince Young shirtless in a club thing?
Yeah.
Didn't he blame the purple drink?
I think he, it's very big in the party, like hip hop culture scene. You hear a lot about it. Yes.
Well, that's my scene. I can't believe I haven't.
I know.
Come across that.
I can't believe you out at Little Langdon Farms after 18 holes, you go in there and, you know, you get yourself a nice club sandwich and you mix it with some scissor.
All right. Well, hey, I want to talk about the Shans, but I also want to finish the tight end conversation. By the way, Scott Rolen just got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
What?
Or, I mean, elected to the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen?
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Does that surprise you?
Yes.
Me too.
Scott Rolen's a Hall of Famer?
Scott Rolen's a Hall of Famer.
No.
Or he's going to be. Yeah.
Is it? Are his numbers just way better than...
No, they're not. I just looked at him because I thought the same thing. 2,000 hits, 281 batting average.
Great glove.
Excellent glove. Never won MVP. Was Rookie of the Year. I don't know. I mean... He's pretty good. I mean, he was good. Scott Rolen was good, but...
Well, I mean...
I never thought of him as a Hall of Famer.
How many years was he...
17 years.
No. Like, how many years had he been up for the Hall of Fame? Because, you know, they can wear you down, like making a diamond.
Yeah, but that... Yeah, I don't know. It's not really worth talking about yet, but...
Yeah, 76.3% of the vote.
Who else got in?
I'm looking here. A few players just under... So I'm looking here. This just says who under. Todd Helton missed it by 3%.
See, okay, if I said Todd Helton, Helton or Scott Rolen.
Right, Todd Helton better than Scott Rolen.
I would also
right?
take Helton over Rolen.
Todd Helton was awesome. Now, of course, he played in Colorado.
Yeah, people always, you know.
But, dude, that guy could rake.
Absolutely. Like, I always thought Todd Helton was one, like, in his prime, I thought he was one of the, you know, five or six best players in baseball, hitting-wise. I never thought that about Scott Rolen. So Helton just missed, and then right behind him was Billy Wagner at 68 and Andrew Jones at 58. And again, maybe I'm screwy, but...
Isn't Billy Wagner the guy who learned how to pitch with the other hand? He pitched with both.
Billy Wagner?
Yeah, I think Billy Wagner was... He was either a lefty or a righty. He was one or the other, because you can't... There's no really... Like, you can't really... You have to be kind of one or the other, right?
Yeah.
And he blew out his arm, and he pitched the other way.
Oh,
I see. And then he became a big leaguer that way, too.
I didn't know. I mean, he was a great closer.
For that alone, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
But, like, Andrew Jones, am I wrong in thinking Andrew Jones is greater than Scott Rolen?
I also think that.
Like, and I hate the Braves, but Andrew Jones was the balls. He was phenomenal. I just don't think of Scott Rolen that way, but it's, you know, it may be a little...
Yeah, Billy Wagner used to throw right-handed.
And by the way, Rolen the only one.
That's phenomenal.
I didn't know that about Billy Wagner.
So he was rehabbing his right arm injury, and he started throwing left-handed, and he was like, whoa, I'm freaking slinging it.
And when was this? Early on, I'm assuming, right?
I'll have to do some reading.
But Rolen's the only one to get in. McGriff got in by the ERA committee. So only... Is this the worst Hall of Fame like weekend of all time with Scott Rolen and Fred McGriff?
Those are the two.
Oh,
Crime Dog. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, he got in by the ERA committee.
He should get in for the Tommy Mansky's baseball commercial.
Absolutely. And then Rolen. That's it. That's got to be, no offense to either one of those guys, that has to be the worst Hall of Fame like induction class of all time.
Maybe try throwing Barry Bonds in there.
It's not happening.
Well, do you think Rolen likes that, though?
I think Rolen loves it because under most circumstances,
he's going to be overshadowed.
He's going to be buried by everyone else, and now it's all about Scott
Rolen. So in July, Fred McGriff's going to have like a 20-minute speech. He's like, no one's going to want me to sit down for George Brett or... Yeah. You know, Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, you can go and
it's my show, Rolen.
You think they like either one of those guys can take as long as they want? They're like, I don't know, we got time to fill. Fred, Scott, hour and a half, whatever you want. Just go.
Interesting. Okay. So now we're backed up.
It happens.
I want to ask a question about tight ends.
You derailed me with Scott Rolen. If you would have said there who just got into the Hall of Fame, it would have taken me 18 years to get to Scott Rolen.
18 years.
18. We would be here forever. If you would have done you're going to go to prison for murder, and you can either get out when your sentence is served or when you figure out who just went to the Hall of Fame, I think I'd take the murder sentence. I'm not coming up with Scott
Right,
Rolen.
At least there's a date.
Exactly. There I'm just sitting there, I'm like just naming players, and I'm not certain I would have ever come up with Scott Rolen.
Yeah, I can't say that I would have either.
It's going to be a while.
That'd have been hard.
Yeah.
Okay, tight end question, Bill Shonnelly talk. That's what's ahead is 346 on the... So, Billy Wagner follow-up. We are in the weeds here, but we're going to dig out. We've got some things going on here. Okay, so the Billy Wagner thing is called neuroplasticity. Have you read about this? Know about this?
I do not.
It is the ability of our bodies to adapt to whatever we put on it, says Dr. Eugene Charles, who pretty much wrote the book on this subject.
Well, I've heard of like overbearing parents. When their kid is young, they just force him to do everything left-handed because they want their sports player to be left-handed.
The key is when you're young. So he says, I believe we have this ability all throughout our lives, but the general consensus is that it's even more powerful when we're younger. Science says we have more pliability and neuroplasticity then, and also less self-imposed inhibition. So Wagner, when he was in middle school, the pitcher, Billy Wagner, began throwing anything he could with his left hand. He's right-handed, but he started throwing things left-handed, baseballs, footballs, even just rocks. Constant practice. He became, I don't want to say ambidextrous because he wasn't. He just taught himself how to throw left-handed. So then he, so the doctor says, by him just making a concerted effort to go with his left hand, you can reestablish neural pathways. There's the old nature versus nurture. Nature might be the said foundation, but you know what? Nurture is really what develops who you are and what you can do. So all of a sudden, his right arm is healing from an injury, and he found that he was throwing harder and harder with his left. And so that became his good arm, and he was breaking like the siding on his house, and he became a lefty.
Huh. So that's different than being ambi, right?
He taught him, He wasn't. Yes, exactly. He's predisposed to be righty, but he taught himself to throw lefty.
My kid, my boy, Iserman, I don't know what you, he does different stuff different-handed. Like whenever he was young, you used to assume that your kid's right-handed, right? Like you grown up.
Not me.
No, but I mean, I'm assuming once you were.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah, but when you were growing up, at what age? I don't know, like with a golf club, right?
You have to ask my parents. I do dribble right-handed.
Yeah.
Everything else I do left-handed.
So my son was, as we were growing up, it took me a little bit, but I figured out, like, when he was young, like, playing baseball or whatever, and I was like, that looks a little uncomfortable. I'm like, do you want to try left-handed? And he's like, what? And I'm like, just turn around, switch your hands. And sometimes that worked, and other times he wanted to hit right. Like, I've tried giving him left-handed golf clubs, and he hates it. Can't do it. But baseball, if you give him a bat, he hates batting right-handed. He wants to hit left-handed.
He just feels more natural.
He feels more natural. When he throws left-handed, but when he writes right-handed. So there's just some things that
Don't know, man.
Yeah. So as growing up, I always told him, I don't know, whatever feels more comfortable, do it.
I don't know, bro. Yeah, yeah. Phil Mickelson is another good one. He's right-handed.
Is he? But he hits.
Yeah, I think his story was that his dad only had lefty club. Maybe his dad was lefty, and so he used to use those.
He's like, here, and you figure it out.
And now he's on tour as a lefty.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he made a pretty good run of it.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, good decision. I mean, he's no Isaac Rob, but...
He's on live now, so no one cares about him anymore. So tight end question before we get to... We're going to get to Sean's talk in our next segment. I thought about wrapping up the tight... We stumbled into a tight end convo in the first hour.
Yeah, the Travis Kelce.
Here, thing. Because we were talking about quarterbacks, turned into Kelce talk. Do you think... And I was thinking about... NFL tight ends that are studs. Somebody mentioned George Kittle. You know, he was at Iowa.
Iowa's like captain of the tight ends.
Rob Gronkowski was at Arizona, and I remember Gronk at Arizona. He was good.
He was good. He just had back problems.
And then Kelce was at Cincinnati. And then the OG guys, you had Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez and these guys.
You can go back. Shannon Sharp was kind of one of the first modern day, you know, like the pass catchers.
But isn't it interesting that a lot of them didn't have big college stats? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that says. I don't know if that says coaches. Because it's funny, you know, like, I'm sure people at Iowa are like, oh, man, we should have done more with George Kittle.
Yeah.
Because now look, he can't even be guarded in the NFL.
Yeah.
But yet, college, that doesn't really get exposed. Maybe it's because they... Well, ask him to do way more.
Well, I think it's
or the offenses are more complex.
I think it's changing more and more. But in college, was ever really a marquee? It wasn't a focal point of the NFL, and
the NFL.
Or no, I'm sorry, of college football. I think the NFL. A lot of times, it's the college that leads to the college stuff trickles up. I don't think this was the case. I think in the NFL, it trickled down.
Yeah, because in the NFL...
You started having real matchup nightmares.
Matchup problems.
Yes.
Because the corners are good.
Yes.
In college, corners aren't that good.
Yep.
for the most part, so wide receivers can get loose.
Yep.
So you don't really have to have a matchup problem with your tight end.
Yes.
NFL, you're looking for any little matchup advantage you can get because everybody's so good.
Yeah.
And so the tight end kind of was born.
And there was always good tight ends in the NFL. But if you go back into like when we were growing up, you know, your tight ends, like, I don't know, Keith Jackson was a really good, not that Keith Jackson, but the Oklahoma, Philadelphia Eagle Keith Jackson. And you had the Mark Bavaros of the world and the Jay Novacek's, and you had some of these. And no one's
Jason Witten.
Yeah, you're never going to, Witten was kind of one of the more modern guys. But you were never going to, you're never going to confuse any of those guys with phenomenal athletes. You had to be able to block, right? You just had to. And I really think Ozzie Newsome was, you know, for a long time, the gold standard of that. And I really think Shannon Sharpe is one of those guys that changed it a little bit, that Shannon could block a little bit, but he wasn't a tight end. He was a matchup nightmare that you could do different stuff with, and you could put him on linebackers, and linebackers weren't athletic enough to run with him, and safeties were too small. And I think once people realized that you could start having these sorts of nightmare matchups where pick your poison, linebacker or safety, we're going to expose you here, whatever you do it. And as the game kind of grew and evolved, I think that position grew and evolved. It's really only been in the last, I'd say, 10-ish years that the tight end has really become what we think of it today, where you really can't. It can be the focal point of your offense.
But it's just interesting that in college, more colleges aren't. That's not trickling down to college. They're not really using the tight end as a matchup problem.
Not as much.
Like in the NFL. Because you could say, I'm a fan of Kansas. You're a fan of BYU.
Yeah.
You and I could have a college team, or we could be a fan of our college team and never know that we have a legit stud, unguardable NFL tight end on our roster because he's just not used that way.
Yeah. And you're now seeing like with what Georgia does. Georgia ran a lot of two towers in Washington. And like those guys were really athletic, and you're seeing that Oregon is using more of their tight ends more. I mean, you are seeing kind of the development of this 6'5".
Well, Pitts.
Yeah, 6'5", Kyle Pitts was a freak. This 6'5", 230-pound. Yeah, you can block a little bit, but really, we're getting you out in space. And when you can find one that can block, now you got something special. Like, I always thought Kittle, with his ability to block, and I thought he was the best tight end in the league, but he can't stay healthy. And Kelsey has just become a different animal. But, you know, Gronk, I said for years, I thought Gronk was the biggest mismatch in all of the NFL. Again, health concerns, but look, of all those years in Tampa, he didn't play. I'm talking about Tom Brady. He never played with an NFL Hall of Famer on the outside, but you know, he played with Gronk. And when they had Aaron Hernandez and Gronk, dude, that offense was freaky scary. On and off the field, by the way. So it's one of those positions that's starting to, I think it's starting to evolve. And I think you, over the next 10 years, you'll see more tight ends becoming a bigger focal point of the offense. And you're already seeing it with Waller and some of these guys. They're some of the most unique athletes on the field.
All right, that wraps up Tight End Talk. Rest in peace, Bill Shonley. We discuss his legacy next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.